The Democratic primary is heating up again, and John Edwards, this is make or break time. He's come in behind Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Now he's fighting hard on somewhere close to his home turf, his native state, South Carolina. In just a few minutes, we'll talk with Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards. If you have questions for him, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. But before Senator Edwards joins us to give us a little context, we've got Ken Rudin here with us in Studio 3A. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil.
And Ken's, of course, NPR's political editor, and Wednesdays joins us as our political junkie here on Talk of the Nation. And so far, Ken, a second-place finish for Senator Edwards in Iowa, third place and in New Hampshire.
Well, it's a tough time for him because, of course, he said from the beginning that he's running against these two rock stars. You know, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama have both raised over $100 million each in their quest for the Democratic nomination. Of course, Edwards has raised nowhere near that amount. He's trying to duplicate what he accomplished in 2004 when he won the South Carolina primary. He's born in South Carolina, and that was the only state he won then. And he's campaigning very heavily to regain that momentum that he had in 2004. But clearly, he wanted to win in Iowa. He campaigned a long time there, almost since the day he lost the vice presidency in 2004 when he was on the John Kerry ticket. He's been trying to win the support and the minds and the voters of Iowa. Didn't accomplish that feat.
What is different about the John Edwards now from 4 years ago?
Well, I think the biggest thing is the way he's been campaigning. Obviously, he was the nice guy. Some Democrats felt he was too nice in 2004. His niceness basically got him good, strong reviews in Iowa and New Hampshire, and perhaps that's the reason why John Kerry picked him on the ticket. But perhaps some Democrats feel he was too nice in the vice presidential debate against Dick Cheney, and they felt that he should have gone after him more. We've learned since the 2004 campaign that there was big disagreements, questioning between the Kerry and Edwards camps about how he should have campaigned, whether he should have been stronger or more strident, things like that. But he's much more of a populist. In the 2008 campaign, he's really working, campaigning on behalf of the middle class, fighting the corporate elite, the corporate corruption that he sees in so many instances in the way things work in Washington, or don't work, as it turns out. But unfortunately for him, I mean, it just seems like he's become a sidebar to this escalating Obama-Clinton tension. The latest one is, of course, on race. You know, once upon a time, they were fighting over differences over Iraq, which were really not that different, and differences over their health care plans, again, which were not that different. Now the issue of race has come up, probably, maybe it was a mistake at first, but it's been escalated by both sides, especially, I think, on the Hillary Clinton side with that comment by yesterday, Bob Johnson, the president of BET, Black Entertainment Television, who basically made a not-so-veiled criticism of Barack Obama's drug use. And it's just gotten ugly. And unfortunately for John Edwards, he seems to be lost in this shuffle because for all the things he has to say, he's not getting any headlines or much media play because the media seems to be so focused on this.
And the other aspect of the campaign, obviously you said initially he'd focused on Iowa. What about fundraising? How is he doing there?
Well, he's not doing well. Of course, as I mentioned, both Obama and Clinton have raised over $100 million each. John Edwards now has agreed to take federal matching funds because he does not have the open checkbooks that the other two candidates has. And so the question, of course, is whether it can be competitive. I mean, far beyond us to be writing anybody off. And I think, we made that mistake before New Hampshire, as the polls showed you. But somehow, with 22 states at stake on February 5th alone, John Edwards is going to have to win somewhere. Hopefully, for his sake, maybe South Carolina is his best opportunity, because otherwise it's hard to compete in so many states with so many expensive media markets.
The other contest coming up soon is the Democratic caucus in Nevada.
Right, that's on Saturday, and that's where Barack Obama's campaigning today. John Edwards seems to be spending more time in South Carolina, where he's doing better in the polls. And then, of course, after that, it's really on to Super Tuesday. The Democrats are not involved in Tuesday's primary, tomorrow's primary in Michigan. They are staying out of the state. Hillary Clinton's name is on the ballot in Michigan. Both Barack Obama and John Edwards supporters are hoping that the Democrats will vote for an uncommitted slate so Hillary Clinton won't get all the delegates.
We're expecting Senator Edwards to join us shortly. He's on the campaign trail, and I gather talking to a lot of media organizations today. Again, if you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Again, the email address is talk@npr.org. And we're just waiting for Senator Edwards' line to be cleared in the studio. Ken?
You know, there's one thing also. The question is whether he helps or hurts Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton in by staying in the race, given the fact that he says he's a candidate for change, Barack Obama is saying he's a candidate for change, and the fact that Edwards sees Hillary Clinton as a candidate of the status quo, one could make the argument that by staying in the race, he perhaps helps Hillary Clinton. The change vote is split among the two of them, and Hillary Clinton benefits.
Well, John Edwards joins us now by phone from Pawleys Island in South Carolina. Senator Edwards, nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Thanks. Wonderful to be with you.
And we all heard you after the primary in New Hampshire saying you're in it all the way and you expect to be the Democratic nominee. So we're not going to ask you that sort of tactical question that Ken was talking about. But a lot of people look ahead to South Carolina, the state you won last time around. How important is this to you?
It's important. South Carolina is important. Nevada is important. But, you know, we've had two states vote out of 50, and both those states are early, and they'll affect what comes after. But as you just pointed out, I'm in this for the long haul. So I'm looking. In fact, later this week, I go to Nevada from South Carolina, and then later this week, I go through several February 5th states. So this is going to be a long-term contest between the three of us.
So it's not to make or break in South Carolina.
It is not. I don't think it is for any of us.
And indeed, some people in South Carolina have been asking questions. Why is he going to Nevada and to some of the February 5th states? You need to stay here.
Oh, I need to do well in South Carolina, but I need to do well in Nevada and compete in the February 5th states. But I've been through this process before. I'm seasoned at it. I know what it takes, and this is going to go on for a long time. And everybody's going to be, but voters, I think we've had too much in America of people's voices not being heard. And what I want to make sure, and I think the other two candidates feel the same way, is that America gets to speak on this issue of who's going to be the Democratic nominee, not just a few states.
Do you have a preference between your two main rivals?
Yeah, I have a preference, and you're talking to the preference. I don't have a preference between them. I have a preference, and I believe that what America needs is we do need change, but we need somebody who will unite America around that change and will stand up and fight the entrenched interests that are preventing the change, oil companies, drug companies, et cetera.
We want to give listeners a chance to ask you questions, too, so let's go to Juan, and Juan's with us from Long Island in New York.
Hello, gentlemen. John Edwards, privileged to speak with you.
Thanks. Nice to speak with you.
My question for you is, I've noticed that Barack Obama's message sounds in many ways similar to yours. What are you doing to differentiate yourself from him?
Well, I have been, I think a lot of what Senator Obama is now saying, I've been saying for a long time. I don't think that's a bad thing, by the way. Because the election shouldn't be about the two of us. It should be about what we need to do for the country. And I'm proud of the fact that he's saying very similar things. I think there are differences between us. There are some substantive differences. I mean, for example, Senator Obama has been supportive of the idea of nuclear power and building more nuclear power plants. I'm dead against building more nuclear power plants. I don't think we have a safe way to dispose of the waste, and I think they're dangerous and expensive. We have a difference on health care policy. My health care plan is universal because it mandates coverage for every American by law. Senator Obama's does not. Could leave as many as 15 million people without coverage. He says a different view about it. I think that we do need to mandate that everybody have health care coverage. And then we have some differences about how we go about taking on the special interests. I've never taken any money from a Washington lobbyists or a PAC the entire time I've been in public life. I think I'm the only candidate for whom that's true among the three of us. So I think there are serious differences between us.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Juan.
Thank you.
So long. Ken?
Senator Edwards, you grew up in the segregated South. What do you make of this new debate? Seems like a new debate inside the Democratic Party, or at least between some of the more fervent Obama and Clinton supporters about race and things like that.
Well, let's start with basics. I don't have any doubt that all of us, all three of us, care deeply about this issue. And so I think that's the starting place. I do think there's some differences in perspective. Among the three of us, I'm the only one who actually grew up in the South during the Civil Rights Movement. So I saw it in a very personal, very real way, and it made a huge difference in my life and the way I view the world. I feel enormous responsibility as somebody who lived part of my life in a segregated South to lead the way toward racial equality in this country. I heard some suggestion, I couldn't tell if it was direct or inferential, to be fair about it, that the real change in the Civil Rights Movement occurred from politicians in Washington. I don't believe that. Having lived in the South during Selma, during Orangeburg, South Carolina, the Orangeburg Massacre, during the four young men sitting down at a Woolworths lunch encounter in Greensboro, North Carolina, I think it's that and the kind of leadership that the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. provided that brought about the real change in the country. So I think it took some courage and guts, and I saw it happening around me, and my view is that's where the change occurred. It didn't originate with politicians.
We're talking with Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards. Also with us, Ken Rudin, NPR's political editor. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another caller. This is Angela. Angela with us from Wichita, Kansas.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Angela. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Senator Edwards. It's a huge honor to be speaking with you. I admire you greatly, and I admire your family and your wife and everything that you stand for. I think you're a great candidate, and I agree with you on many issues. I do have one question for you, and it is in regards to your thoughts on the death penalty in America and what kind of effect that will have socially on our ideals. I was wondering if you'd mind expanding on your belief.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I have historically supported the death penalty, but I have huge problems with it right now. Because you look at what's happening, and first of all, we talked about race just a few minutes ago. If you're a man or woman of color in America today, you're more likely to be charged with a capital offense, you're more likely to be convicted, and you're more likely to get the death penalty. That is just the reality of our justice system, our criminal justice system in America today. On top of that, particularly given the availability of DNA technology, we have to ensure that it is impossible for us to execute somebody who's innocent. And then third, we know that, because I know the justice system very well, I lived in it for decades, we know that in many cases, if you have high-quality representation, it makes a huge difference in the likelihood of conviction and the likelihood of the death penalty. And I might add, I'm also opposed to what I'm getting a little in the weeds, but bear with me, to what they describe as death-qualified jurors, which means that the prosecution is permitted to ask the jury whether they will vote, whether they have any objection to the death penalty. And if they do, then they're excluded from service. I think that stacks the jury in favor of the prosecution, both for conviction and for the vote on the death penalty itself.
Angela, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can get... this is Molly. Molly with us in Bend, Oregon.
How do you do? Thanks so much for taking my call. I wanted to let you know that I am a undecided voter. I'm looking very closely at each of the candidates, and I'm having a hard time discerning between the white noise sometimes. The issues that are concerning to me specifically are foreign policy, health care, and education. Can you tell me at least one thing that you would do with regard to reforming education? I see now even in affluent communities where classes are overcrowded and funding is hard to come by.
Okay, let's let Senator Edwards answer, okay?
And it was I had a little breaking up. It was on education.
Education. One thing you'd do to reform education.
You give me two. First, we have to dramatically change No Child Left Behind, which I think is creating an enormous burden on our public school system. I've seen it both as a policymaker and with my own children in the public schools. Second, we need universal pre-K for four-year-olds. Every four-year-old in America needs to be enrolled in a pre-K program so that we get to them as early as we can and put them on the right track. I have many other ideas, but I'll stop with those two.
Okay. Thanks very much, Molly.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Ken Rudin?
Senator, obviously campaigning in Iowa and New Hampshire is far different than campaigning in 22 states at the same time. How is your fundraising going, and do you have the money to compete in 22 states?
Well, we had the largest fundraising week last week. We had the entire campaign. I think Americans are a little surprised that
Senator Edwards, we're losing his cell phone.
For a year, that there are only two other candidates, and there are only two candidates. And so I think we'll have plenty of money to compete. And as I said, I'm in this for the long term. I'm going to be going through a bunch of February 5th states later this week, as a matter of fact.
All right. Senator Edwards, we thank you for taking the time to speak with us today, and we wish you, as always, the best of luck.
Thank you. My wife and I both love the show, so thank you for having us on.
Well, she's been kind enough to be a guest on our program as well, and we thank her for that. Good luck in South Carolina and Nevada.
Thank you very much.
John Edwards, a Democratic candidate for president, former United States Senator from North Carolina, with us by phone from Pawleys Island in South Carolina, where, as you heard, there are occasional cell phone dropouts. I'm sure any of the candidates who get elected president will fix that problem. Ken Rudin was also with us here in Studio 3A. He's our political junkie. You can hear him again on Wednesday on Talk of the Nation, indeed every Wednesday on Talk of the Nation. Ken, thanks very much for being with
us
today. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.